Thank you. Good day, friends. It is our great joy and delight to again come to you with studies in the book of Matthew. I hope you folk don't think that I'm going too slow on this, but it's so hard for me sometimes when I get into this book to realize the need of the human heart and knowing that our Savior is the one who's able to meet that heart. It's a wonderful thing to have the Savior come right into your own life. Have one who really understands and really cares. And remember again, the Lord always rewards faithfulness, and humility is a sign of greatness in the kingdom of God. Now, we've been dealing with the third announcement of our Lord's death in verses 17, runs right down to the end of the chapter. We have his announcement, and then we have this question of greatness in the kingdom of God, and of how the mother of James and John came to the Savior. And may I say, it was a very reasonable, logical thing to do. It's very human. And she wanted her boys, James and John, to be in the place of prominence. So she asked the Lord, when you come into your kingdom, will you please put John on one side and James on the other? And the Lord Jesus said, you don't know what you're asking. It's not mine to give, it belongs to my Father. But are you willing to drink of the cup that I shall drink of? Are you willing to be baptized with the baptism that I'll be baptized with? And they said, we're able. And he said, you will. And they did. They both suffered. The baptism of suffering, the cup of suffering. As our Lord could say in the Garden of Gethsemane, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And then chapter 18 of John, after as he's leaving the garden, he can say, shall I not drink the cup my Father hath given me to drink? He was moving on to the cross. They were thinking of the kingdom. His heart now was on the cross. They were thinking of glory. He was thinking of suffering. And if you're going to share with me in the glory, then you must share with me in the suffering. Remember that. As 2 Timothy 2 declares, if we suffer, we shall reign. Now, the answer of our Lord following that, when the other disciples were kind of peeved about it, just because Peter and James and John, rather, got ahead of them. They wanted to be in the place of prominence, too. You can just see that with these 12 fellows, trying to get ahead of each other. They were moved with indignation. Jesus called them and said, look here. You know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. It shall not be among you. Whosoever will be great among you, let him be your servant. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And remember that our Lord took the place of a bond slave. He took the place of a servant. He was found in fashion as a man and humbled himself to death, even the death of the cross. And I again say, my friend, the closer you walk to the Savior, the more you realize the opposition of the world that crucified the Lord of glory. I'm well aware that the flesh wants to be prominent. It wants to be in the place of show. Every one of us have a certain measure of egotism, personal desire, pride. May the Lord deliver us. Jesus saying just the opposite. Humility is the sign of greatness in the kingdom of God. And the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for all. My friend, may I remind you of 1 Timothy chapter 2, same thing. Who gave himself. We have one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself to be a ransom for all. He's paid the price whereby sinners can be delivered from sin. He's paid the price whereby you can be delivered from the slavery of the power of sin, the powers of death and the powers of hell. The price has been paid. As we so oftentimes sing, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. He gave his life, a ransom for all. May I again remind you, 1 Peter chapter 1. He was a lamb slain from before the foundation of the world, but manifest in these last times for you who believe in him, who raised him from the dead, that your faith and your hope might be in God. He is the one who has ransomed us. As the 49th Psalm says, he ransomed us from the power of the grave. Our Lord gave himself a voluntary sacrifice. He paid the price. He satisfied divine justice and divine righteousness and has made it possible for God to pick up slaves, transform them into the sons of God. Oh, what a Savior. What good news for men. God has provided a ransom, as the book of Job declares. How glad I am that God has made the provision. God has provided the ransom. He has provided the sacrifice. He's provided us with a Savior and guaranteed that in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we come back to the last part of this division, and I'm reading again from the 20th chapter of the book of Matthew, where our Lord now is on his way to Jerusalem. He has just said, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man's going to suffer. He's going to be betrayed. He's going to be given to the Gentiles to be scourged. You know, I confess I can't begin to enter into this, because I, as a person who's not the Son of God in the sense that our Lord was, he knew what he was going to. And now he makes his way down through Jericho, and he passes through Jericho, and he meets, you remember, Zacchaeus in Luke 19, and a great multitude followed him. And this is an amazing thing to me. He stops en route. He's on his way to be betrayed and crucified and scourged and kicked out, not wanted. A great multitude followed him as he departed from Jericho. Now he's going to walk up the road from Jericho to Jerusalem. He's going to go from about 900 feet below sea level up to 3,000 above sea level. He's going to go through the Judean wilderness. And on his way, just as he passes through Jericho, we read this story. And behold, two men sat by the wayside. When they heard that Jesus passed by, they cried out, saying, Lord, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. And the multitude rebuked them, because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. And Jesus stood still and called them and said, what will ye that I shall do unto you? They say unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. So Jesus had compassion on them, touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. Now, I want you to mark something. Here are two blind men sitting by the wayside. More than likely, they were begging. And when they heard that Jesus was passing by, they shouted out, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. The crowd said, shut up. What are you making all the noise about? But they cried out all the more. They shouted out, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. And Jesus said, well, what do you want? And they said, Lord, we want our eyes open. You know, I couldn't help but think of that passage in Matthew chapter 15. Notice the contrast. May I refresh your memory? In Matthew 15, a woman, a Syrophoenician, a Canaanite, a woman under the curse, said to him, thou Son of David, have mercy on me and heal my daughter. And you remember the Lord ignored her, apparently. And the disciples said, Lord, this woman crieth after us. She's bothering us. And Jesus, you remember, said, I am sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. She said, help me, Lord. He said, I can't take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. Dog I am, but give me the crumbs. And you remember how the Lord healed her daughter. You see, she came as a Syrophoenician. She was a woman under the curse. She had no part in the Son of David. The Son of David was for Israel. Not for the Gentiles, but for Israel. And when she came on the ground of, Lord, help me, then he could meet her need. But as a son of David, he didn't. He was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now look at the contrast here. Here are two men begging. Where are they? They're down near the city of Jericho. What is Jericho? Jericho was under a curse. Cursed be the one who rebuilds these walls of Jericho. After Joshua, you remember, in the book of Joshua, when Jericho fell to Israel, when they entered the promised land, a curse was upon those who would rebuild the walls. Now outside of the city of the curse are two blind men. But they're Jews. So they said, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. They appealed to him on the ground of relationship. The crowd said, you fellas, shut up. You're making too much noise. You can just see that picture. There's a crowd following Jesus, and they can't hear what Jesus is saying because these two fellows are making a lot of noise. Have mercy on us. You fellas, shut up. Keep still. How can we hear him when you're shouting out like that? But they cried out all the more. They had a need. And they said, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. Again, I say, they appealed to him on the ground of relationship. He's a son of David. We belong to Israel. We're Jews. And Jesus stood and said, what do you want me to do for you? And they said, Lord, we want our eyes open. And Jesus had compassion upon them, touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. You know, nobody has ever come to the Savior with a need that he didn't meet that need. Son of David, have mercy on us. Do you think the Lord's going to turn them down? Even though the crowd wants them to get out of the way? No. Nobody yet has ever come to the Savior with a need. Not even a Syrophoenician woman, though she came on the wrong ground. She had no relationship to Jesus as the Son of David. But when she took her place, and the Lord encouraged her in this, by the way, I like that story because the Lord says, woman, you're on the wrong ground, come over here. And she came over and said, Lord, help me. And don't forget the dogs have to be fed. I'll take my place. I'm a woman under the curse, but I'll take my place, help me. And the Lord met her need, same with these two fellows. They came because of relationship to the Son of David, and the Lord would never turn them down. And he healed them, and they followed him. You know, may I just suggest this? May I come now to a different thing? In the book of John, chapter 16, our Lord says something to his disciples in the upper room that is worth knowing. In fact, they have left the upper room, and they're going down to the vineyard, and the Lord is saying his final words on the way down to the Garden of Gethsemane. And he said, in the day when the Spirit of God indwells you, for he's been talking about that, in that day you shall ask in my name. And I do not say that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you because you have loved me. You see, what Jesus is saying to his disciples now, he's going to leave them. He's going to leave them. But the day when the Spirit of God indwells them, they can come to the Father with every need because of relationship. In that day, he said, you will ask in my name, and I do not say that I will pray the Father for you. Do you know what? The first time I saw that truth, it just about transformed this question of praying when it comes to requests. I think most Christians fail to realize it, that you and I come in the presence of God now. Of course, these two blind men, they saw Jesus face to face after he'd opened their eyes. But they, on the ground of what they had heard, that he was the Son of David, on the ground of relationship, they appealed for healing. And the Lord met their need. Now, what about us today? So I take you to John 16 again. I say, It was a revelation to me when I saw this. In that day, you shall ask the Father in my name. And I do not say that I will pray the Father for you. Why? Because the Father himself loves you because you've loved me. You see, we come into the presence of the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus. That means we stand before the Father in all the merit, in all the beauty, and all our relationship to the Son of God. Because of our union with him, we can stand before the Father. But we make our request in his name. But the Father grants our request on the ground of relationship. He's your Father, and you are the object of his love. And my Father will meet your need. I do not need to pray for you, says Jesus. I do not need to make your request. Now it's true in Hebrews 7:25, he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Same thing in Romans 8:34 and Romans 8:27. He's praying for us in our need. But when it comes to the matter of requests, he said, you come yourself. You come in the presence of my Father. And because of your relationship to him, he's your Father. And because he loves you, he'll meet your need. Do you know, this is a wonderful thing when I think of these two blind men. They appeal to Jesus on the ground of their relationship to him. Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. What do you want? Well, Lord, we want our eyes open. And he opened their eyes and they followed him. Now for us today, what do? We come to the Father on the ground of relationship. We are the children of one who is God. He knows your need. And we come before him in all the merit and beauty of our Savior. We pray in his name, and the Father meets our requests. Now I'm talking about requests. The Father meets our requests on the ground of relationship and on the ground that he loves us. That's what you have in John 17:24, when the Lord Jesus said, Father, I want something, that all those whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. Why? Because you love me before the foundation of the world. Now, on the ground of the Father's love for Jesus, he expects that request to be made and to be finished and completed. Likewise with us, we make our request in the name of Jesus, and because of relationship and because our Father loves us, he meets our request. Oh, what a wonderful thing to be a child of God. What a wonderful thing to know we can come because of a vital, eternal relationship with God and know that he'll meet our needs. Why don't you enjoy him today? Just open your heart to him. Let him come in and let him fill you with all joy and peace in believing. And the Lord bless you.